What's up?
Hello.
Rocky Swamp Podcast coming at you again.
We're here with Green, Jarrett Green. We just got back from Spartanburg, South Carolina and the Panthers training camp. Good times. What do you think about it, Green?
I thought it was great. It was a really good time. Hot.
Very hot.
Yes.
I'm still sweating, actually, from it, and that's been an hour and a half, 2 hours ago since we came back.
Yeah.
So, saw some pretty cool stuff. Got up close and personal with some of the players. They're way bigger than what you expect, and I know you hear that all the time. But I will say Christian McCaffrey's legs are probably the size of sequoia trees. They're huge. I mean, he come walking down through there, and there was no denying that that man can probably leg press about 2,500 pounds.
I felt the earth shake under my feet.
And he looks fat. He looks fast on TV.
Oh, he did.
But he is, once he plants his foot to do a cut, he's quick. And we saw him break off some big runs. Even though they were on the far practice field, you couldn't really see exactly how it happened. But he was running wild through the secondary, which could be a good thing for the offensive line, or it's a bad thing for the defensive line. And obviously, they wasn't in full pads. They wasn't hitting hard or anything like that. So,
man, even the punter was huge.
Yeah, the punter was – that. We watched the preseason game, and that that sly guy that was kicking field goals, they're talking about how he's a gym rat. That dude is stacked for sure.
Sly.
I mean, he's huge.
Yo, Adrian.
Funniest story was we're trying to get autographs, and our buddy Singleton says, hey, there's Chris Hogan. So we're calling this guy Chris Hogan. Trying to get an autograph, talking about how we need him in the wide receiver group. You know, we're excited to have him. Come to find out, it's J.J. Jansen, the long snapper. So
we apologize, sir.
Not that he's going to hear this, no. But
Singleton.
I know who you was, just FYI. I tried to tell him, but it was Singleton.
Singleton is here, by the way.
He's too shy to talk, so he's laid in the recliner right now.
He said, I can't do public speaking, which there's nobody here, so I don't know.
We're just shooting the junk here. I mean,
Singleton. Cam didn't practice.
Yeah, he was in sweats. We saw him off to the side working with some tennis balls and some resistance bands and stuff like that.
I think because they got joint practice tomorrow with the Bills.
Yeah, they're holding him out a little. I think he practiced yesterday, but they held him out today. Obviously, they've got him on his pitch count. But the other quarterbacks looked like they were throwing some pretty good balls. Couple overthrows. We saw Chris Hogan, the actual Chris Hogan, make some touchdown catches, and Greg Olsen caught a couple.
I was really impressed how the backups was making some pinpoint passes in the end zone.
Yeah, for sure.
Will Greer looked good.
Yeah. He had a couple errant throws, but, I mean, he's not going to be perfect. Nobody's perfect when they throw, but he – and he's a cool dude. Me and Kevin talked to him for a little bit, got his autograph.
I think Green got a picture.
Yeah,
Green got a picture with him. He stayed out there longer than anybody else and signed as many autographs as I guess he felt like. But it was way more than any of the other guys, him and Trey Boston. But saw Luke Kuechly probably about 5 yards in front of me, and the dude is a beast, for real.
I was impressed. You know how he's the leader of the defense now.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing him practice – like, somebody made a good play. He was coming up, high-fiving. He went out of his way to fist bump and shoulder check players on the defense.
Yeah, every time they changed to do another practice drill, he was always first leading the team. So, and there was actually a good conversation brought up about Luke Kuechly, and Keith and Green had a really intense conversation about him, about who they think is the greatest linebacker in Carolina Panther history. Keith thinks that Luke Kuechly's already there.
Oh, yeah, by far.
Disagrees. So why do you disagree, Green?
Wow. I'm not disagreeing he will be. And he is probably borderline of jumping into already.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been great names, longer seasons, that I feel has already proven themselves more than he has.
Right.
Okay. And to that I say, statistically, Kuechly has already surpassed all of them. He's got more All-Pros, probably more tackles. I don't think Dan Morgan and Fields and all them, I don't think they ever led the league in tackles like Kuechly has. And, you know, I think Keekly's definitely scored more touchdowns, you know, pick sixes, fumble returns, and stuff like that. But, you know, being a Panthers fan there for a while, all we could do was root for them as people. You know, I love Dan Morgan because he was just the epitome of toughness. You know, he was just that hard-nosed, blue-collar guy. But being that guy, that's why he always got hurt, is because, you know, he was always leading with his helmet, had all the concussions. And I see a lot of Dan Morgan and Keekly because he is that hard-nosed, blue-collar guy. But I do feel like Keekly's already a better linebacker.
Do you think that – do you ever worry about his concussions?
I do. I think since – I mean, at this point, I feel like he might possibly already be one concussion away from being finished.
That's not good, him being downhill like he is.
And you know it's bad when he's wearing experimental equipment trying to reduce it. Mm-hmm. Like he had that band on his head last year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think he still wears that, actually. But I did notice he was wearing in that picture that I got. I'll probably post it with the video. But he's got this, like, vest on. And I think that monitors, like, their internal body temperature and stuff like that. And I think it's real-time as well. So, like, the training staff can see who's overheating while they're practicing and run over to them, make sure they're all right and stuff like that. I think that's what that was.
Or it could be him having to get used to a different padding or extra padding.
Yeah, that's possible as well. I don't know if they're having to switch shoulder pads and stuff like that, like they are helmets and stuff. Antonio Brown, talking about you.
That's a good conversation. What do you think?
Well, I think they may have switched it just to try to offer some kind of alternative into helping reduce the risk of concussion.
Right.
Do you think Antonio Brown is right in his stance, wanting his helmet, or do you think you should just suck it up and play?
Suck it up and play.
Yeah.
I mean, every time you move to a new – if you're moving up in the ranks from middle school, high school, you get a new helmet everywhere you go.
Right.
I mean, I can understand that you're, you know, it's – athletes are very superstitious. You know, I got to wear this certain shirt every time I play. I got to have this meal in the morning. And that might be what it is. He just feels like it. He performs when he has that helmet. He's attached to it. But at that point, you just got to go, hey, it's actually my skill. And I don't think the helmet really has anything to do with it. Although he says it's messed with his vision.
Mm-hmm.
Can't see that well, but, I mean, the money they're paying you, just change your helmet and get used to it. That's why you're practicing. Get used to the helmet while you're practicing. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm glad I'm not running an organization. I would have no players. They'd all be mad at me.
I think he has already showed many times, it doesn't matter who he plays with, he has a high level of skillness.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
To the point of where if he didn't wear a helmet or did, it's not going to affect his game. I mean, he's a veteran playmaker.
I agree.
And you know what? You was talking about Keekly and, like, leading with the helmet and Dan Morgan and all that. I feel like everybody should that plays defense should take a year off and go play Australian rules football because they don't have helmets, and that teaches you perfect tackling form.
Rugby.
Yeah. Australian rules football, either one. I mean, you're not leading with your head, but you're making perfect tackles.
True.
You know, I think the equipment actually causes these guys to have the head injuries because they feel like they're safe so they can go out there and run 100 miles an hour.
Right.
And, you know, feel like they could run through a brick wall and nothing happened to them. And I think I was just being stupid and saying that they should take a year off and go play. But, I mean, you don't see those kind of injuries in rugby and stuff like that because they know how to tackle without leading with their head. And
that's a good point.
Or it's just not a big enough sport in the States to get the recognition that football does.
Yeah, it's not.
Oh, it definitely is.
Because every time somebody gets hurt and they're a big name, it's blasted on tickers, ESPN, all of that. How much news about rugby do you actually hear? It could be more evident than what you think.
That's true.
Well, yeah, that's also true. There's probably not a bunch of people going over there and studying it and stuff like that. So,
I think they lose ears more than they get concussions. But another question I wanted to ask y'all was talking about, we didn't get to talk about it a lot, was the new rule where you can call, you know, the coach can throw the flag if he thought pass interference was involved. And I personally do not like it. I think there's too many replays now, in my opinion.
It's definitely going to slow the game
but
down.
But Green seems to be all about it, so I just want him to tell us why he was all about it. I want his thinking.
And for the record, I'm on the fence about it. So,
Not necessarily defense or pass interference. I think it would be great to be able to challenge a referee's decision or non-calling decision, whatever penalty it will be.
I mean, obviously in that Saints game that brought about this rule, the dude was mauled, and it's been talked about. I mean, that was obviously pass interference. How that guy didn't throw the flag, I don't know. But the reason why I'm on the fence about it is because I've lost games on bad calls, bad pass interference calls in the college and pro ranks. But we've also won games. I mean, a couple years ago we beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
Keekly, he interfered with Rob Gronkowski, and it wasn't called, and we won the game because of that. I was all for it. But now, you know, Bill Belichick would have been able to throw the flag and we lose that game possibly because they would have got the ball back and had another chance. And so at some point you want it, – it's a fine line where, you know, you want them to be able to get the calls right, but also you just want them to be able to play the game and just, you know, whatever's called, it's called. That's, you can say that's part of the game too, the human error part of it. But I don't know. That's why I'm on the fence.
It's like Major League Baseball. They're going to have the strike zone. They're already –
Oh, you're talking about the robots?
Yeah, they're already trying to play it out. And
it's in that one division, yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. Now, and this is just my ignorance, can they throw a flag for, like, say, the referee I'll get it said in a minute. The referee misses, like, a face mask. Can they still throw the flag?
No, I think it's just pass interference they're able to do.
Just interference.
Because, I mean, my Lord.
If defense can throw it if they think there was offensive pass interference, yes?
I think it's just defense.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, that ain't fair.
If that's the case, no, it's not fair.
That ain't right.
Say the guy pushes off and catches a touchdown pass, the defense should be able to throw the flag and be like he pushed off.
I do agree.
So I think it does go both ways,
but
honestly.
That's not how it's going to work. The referee has to make a call for them to challenge it.
Well, then that would take the whole purpose out, right?
Yeah, because
it's challenging the referee's decision.
I thought it was you could challenge his non-decision. If you're running down the field and pass interference happens and then they don't throw the flag,
yeah, you can say
your coach can throw the flag and say it was pass interference.
Yeah, that happened in a preseason game. I can't remember which game it was.
It was the very first one thrown. I was watching it too, and I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, he threw it, they came back and said it wasn't pass interference, but
it's just a knee jerk reaction from the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
huge.
The Saints were taking out billboards and stuff like that, like some of the fans and.
Yeah.
Saying how they got robbed, which I feel like they got robbed, but
I mean, they should be happy though. They're not wearing bags over their heads no more.
Yeah, but at the same time, you also got to look at it and say, I know, and I'm just as guilty as this as anybody that I tend to break the whole game down to one play. We would have won this game if this one play would have went a certain way, but that's not the case. You play all four quarters, and everything leads up to how you win or lose, and so you can't really nail it down to just one play. I mean, because sure, maybe they call pass interference right there, but that's not guaranteed they're going to score.
Right.
But I mean, it does take an opportunity away from them. And but I mean, if you play well the entire game, you're going to win the game most of the time. So I don't like making excuses based on one play here or there, even though I still do it myself. It's hard to as a fan.
Right.
To be like, well, you know what, if we had scored that touchdown in the first quarter, it wouldn't have mattered
mm-hmm.
that we were interfered with in the fourth quarter.
Right.
And, you know, so.
How do you think the Panthers are going to do this year? Playoffs, maybe?
Yes, and I'm really excited. After what we saw today, I'm really excited. Cannot wait to see them in form. I mean.
Tough game week one.
Yeah, we're going to start out with the Rams. We're going to find out right there, you know. But then again, you know, people get the Super Bowl hangover, so maybe it's not a true gauge. You never know. Maybe they come out flat that first game.
And it's the first season of the game.
First game of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
So regardless of the preseason happening, nobody's still
– Yeah, nobody knows. I mean
– In rare form.
You can't gauge anything off of preseason. I mean, there's – hell, I think that one year the Patriots won the Super Bowl, they were 0-4 in the preseason. So,
yeah.
You know. A little bit of gas going around in here. Wild Wing Cafe coming back to strike us here. clouding some people's judgment around here. But I'll tell you what though. The thing that hurts the Panthers the most is the division they play in.
Oh yeah, the Saints.
It's stacked. But the Buccaneers are okay.
I don't know now. I almost disagree with that. I'm not taking away from the Falcons or Saints.
Okay.
But in this division, it's very rare to have this many powerhouses in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, there for a while it went from – it rotated every team every year.
Yeah, nobody won it back-to-back years till we did it.
Consistently performed well, not more than one or two teams.
Right.
And you got basically three out of four could make it deep playoffs.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And typically, there's two NFC South teams that make the playoffs. Usually, the wild card is from the NFC South.
Do you think Carolina's a wild card or division winner?
I'd like to say division.
Keith?
I would like to say division. I mean, we were on track for it last year, and then Cam Newton got hurt. He was having – yeah. Seriously, dude. No, I'm just kidding.
You had one job.
You had one job to be quiet in the chair. But no, Cam was having one of the best years he's ever had statistically before his shoulder got hurt in that Pittsburgh game. So I think we were on track. And like Keekly said at the end of the all or nothing thing, we were in every game except for that Pittsburgh game. We either had the ball to go score and win, or we were on defense to stop them to win. And we just had some bad luck.
One thing I'm really excited is to see how the change of Cam's throwing motion is going to help.
Right. I wish we could have saw that today.
Cam's tendency is to overthrow. I mean, it's not barely overthrow, but I mean overthrow.
Yeah, he overthrows a lot.
You excited about the new defense?
Yes.
Are you kind of worried? Skeptic?
Yes, I got that hybrid defense, basically what New England kind of started. I'm really, the majority of the new front seven is new. Or there's a lot of new ones on there.
New pieces that are going to play roles, you got
Bruce Irvin.
Gerald McCoy.
Yeah, and it's just, you want to see what they do. See if they mesh.
Like Rivera said in the preseason game, you bring in Gerald McCoy, who's an all-pro, and you put him beside K.K. Short, who's also an all-pro. Who do you double-team now? I mean, you're going to have to go one-on-one with somebody, and either one of them is going to hurt you. And then you put in the Brian Burns, the rookie, and the Bruce Irvin and stuff, people that are able to rush the passer but also cover tight ends and stuff. So you don't know what's going to happen, especially if they do a lot of, three-down linemen, and you don't know where the pressure's coming from. I mean, it could cause some issues, and I like the fact that Rivera's taking the defense over and calling the plays because, he's notoriously a really good defensive coach. So,
yeah. Now, I'm going to spring this one on you just because it's eating at me. And I don't know. It bothers me in a sense of what you said. Me being a SEC guy.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
This kind of bothered me. You're saying
– and we actually brought this point up on the previous podcast when we were ranking the conferences.
Nick Saban made a statement that the reason they didn't win the national championship is because they play in a harder conference. And you said that's completely false. That's completely true. They play in a harder conference.
No, you took it wrong. I'm not taking away from SEC. It's
but you're saying that ain't caused them to lose.
No, it is not.
Being beat up every week is not causing them to lose. But
now, I'm not going to put that as the excuse because they should have been prepared ready. But if you compare the SEC schedule versus the ACC schedule, you're going to get more beat up in the SEC than you are the ACC, without a doubt. I mean, when you're Clemson and you're having to play Wake Forest and, NC State, which NC State's decent, but it's not like playing an LSU or playing Florida or a Texas A&M or anything like that, which, Clemson beat Texas A&M. But they don't have to play those types of teams week in and week out.
No matter how true that is, though, You're not getting banged up if you're blowing teams out by 30 points and sitting in the fourth quarter.
But their starting linebackers in that national championship game were like fourth and fifth string linebackers. They didn't have their – because they were getting hurt playing these top-tier teams, you know, more physical teams than what the ACC has.
You're talking about Tua not playing a fourth quarter hardly.
Yeah, they set a lot of starters.
Yeah. But see, my point last week was – the reason why Clemson is so good and they reload every year is because they're blowing teams out and they're able to, you know, kind of take the depth chart and throw these second, third, fourth string guys in and get them experience so that they're ready when the seniors and the juniors that are ready to declare for the draft move on. They've already seen tons of game time because they're in that easy ACC conference and they're able to just kind of blow through it and your starters are getting, you know, tons of rest. I mean – Tua might have been sitting, but I don't think the ones as a whole were having to sit.
It was the majority.
A majority of them, yeah. But, I mean, there's some spots where you're kind of thin and your starters are going to have to.
My thing is, no matter how hard it is, you know, whether you're playing a lower school, if you're playing four quarters, I'm not saying Clemson never sent anybody because they had several blowouts.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Everybody that played.
But when you're – when you blow them out so much, you're averaging over 30-point blowouts. You know, it's
– but I bet if you looked at Clemson and looked at their stats, they would probably be pretty close to that. If anything, they should have been blowing them out by more.
So you're saying just because the schedule's tough and they lost to Clemson that – they should have lost all the other ones. I mean, they was playing the same conference and still won all those other ones.
But they weren't as beat up when they played those earlier games.
Why? Still the same conference.
What, the SEC?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying their players were getting hurt. So, but, yeah, I see what you're saying.
I mean, they won the other ones doing the same thing they done last year.
Right.
So – was it too tough then, too tough now? I mean, not tough enough. I mean, you say it's tough, but they literally, it's just recently they won all those titles.
I think the only teams out there that can beat Alabama is Clemson.
It's just right now. They lost and they've got to make an excuse because they're not used
to
it.
Yeah, and that's what I said. I don't like that as an excuse. I don't like saying
that. And that's,
you know,
all it is because they, how many national titles they've won over the past 10 years? Five. That's half of it. So you're telling me you're already not used to winning in this conference? That you're already not used to.
But here's the thing: the conference is starting to close the gap on them. Is the issue? That was my point. The ACC, you got Clemson, and then the next best team. There's a huge talent gap there. But when you look at the SEC, you've got Alabama, and then Georgia's right on their heels now, and then LSU's right on their heels, and then you got Texas A&M. So it's
Florida,
and then Florida. yeah, let's throw Florida in there. Okay.
But year in, year out, it's still the same schools they're used to playing.
Yeah, but, you know.
The talent's getting better.
The talent's getting better in the SEC than it was. I mean, Alabama was running through pretty easily. Now, yeah, they're blowing some of these teams out, but you got to think, the teams that they're blowing out, it's the Mississippi States and the, you know, the lower tier, you know, SEC schools. But we have more higher-tier teams than the ACC does as far as the talent gap. So, I mean, you can blow Ole Miss out by 40 points,
That's true.
Brings your average up.
But you only had one school that you did not win that was in single digits. That was Georgia, whenever they almost beat you. And you won by 7, or ended up 6. That's the only team that
Yeah, and Georgia should have beat Alabama.
That you did not have double-digit win against.
And Georgia should have beat Alabama in that. Yeah, if it wasn't for Kirby Smart and his fake punt call. But and this is probably just SEC versus ACC. I mean, you like a team in ACC. We like teams in the SEC. And you always want to fight for the conference that your team plays for because it gives you some sort of validity when your team doesn't do well. You know, and that's why.
Oh, I 100% agree that Clemson plays in a less – tougher conference.
But like you said, your argument is you can't use it as an excuse.
I'm not taking away from SEC at all. They're tough. They are. They're tougher than the ACC. But, I mean, you play them every year.
Yeah, and that was part of our argument, too. You could take, you know, the fourth best SEC team and put them over in the ACC minus Clemson, and they would finish second easily. most of the time. I would feel like if you moved LSU over to the ACC, I mean, they're going to run through that.
Oh, right.
Very easily, I think.
Another question. I was wanting to see what y'all thought. Who do you think will be in the NFC Championship and AFC Championship this year, which will then tell us who you think is going to be in the Super Bowl? If that's not just too tough off the cuff here. We're just talking. That's what this is. We're just talking.
AFC Championship, I don't know if I can narrow it down to two.
Well, you got to. There's only two teams to play.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I could give you maybe three that I think could make a good – I mean, you can't count out the Patriots. They're always going to be a shoe-in to go to the AFC Championship most of the time. But like I've said, you know, I don't know if the Browns can make it to the championship, but they're going to be really, really close, maybe just on the cusp of it. And you can't count out the Chiefs. I mean, have you seen some of the things Patrick Mahomes been doing in practice and stuff? I mean, it's – he really is truly like a gunslinging quarterback. But, I mean, he's got a cannon on him. He's going to put it where most quarterbacks aren't going to be able to put it.
Right.
So I think it's between those three for a mixture of two of those three would be the AFC Championship game.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say the Chiefs and the Chargers.
I was going to say I wouldn't say Chargers till I know what Melvin Gordon's doing.
I think
doing.
He's coming, and then I think that'll be your AFC Championship.
The Browns will be in the AFC Championship.
Against who?
As much as I want to say the Chiefs, because I do, I love their young offense, high-powered offense.
Mm-hmm.
They lost a lot of key defensive veterans.
They did.
So I'm curious, because of how fast their offense is, they'll be off the field quicker than normal.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see how their defense will hold up and play.
All right.
And it seems like the Browns are doing like a hurry. I don't know if they were doing that just in that first preseason game, but if they do that hurry up, they're going to have to be really, really fit on defense.
All right.
Because you're either scoring quickly or you're going three and out very quickly, and that's going to keep your defense on the field longer, and they're going to get tired out more. That's the reason why you see some of these hurry-up schools in college get so many points scored on them is because their defense wears out. And so it'd be interesting to see if that's something that they plan on doing throughout the whole course of a game, or maybe that was just a plan to go out there and just kind of run it in a real game situation just to see how it worked in case they needed to do it in a two-minute drill or something like that, you know.
All right, NFC Championship, then we'll wrap this thing up.
Once again, I'll go with three teams, I think. I can't narrow it down at the moment. I think the Rams have a Super Bowl hangover, but I do like I love their coach, McVay. He's real young and energetic, and I think the players really like him because of that. But I like the Saints. Depends on if Michael Thomas comes back and actually plays after getting his big contract. So NFC Championship, I feel like it'll be two of the three will be – it'll be between the Rams, Saints, and Panthers. To me,
if the Saints don't use what happened in last year's championship game as a crutch and as a cry out for if they lose games this year,
right,
and they continue like they did last year, I think it'll be another NFC repeat.
I do too. I think Saints-Rams.
Saints-Rams again?
Yeah. I think Super Bowl will be the Chiefs and the Rams.
Chiefs and the Rams. Chiefs over the Patriots in the AFC Championship?
Yeah, I think so. I know Green's got the Browns going to the Super Bowl, maybe. We're going to record it right here.
Yeah. wow. I think it'll be a close AFC Championship game.
Any outliers that we didn't mention that could possibly make a run and surprise people? Maybe Zeke comes back and the Cowboys. No. I know the Madden 20.
Record it right now. No.
I know the Madden 20 simulation had it as a Browns-Cowboys Super Bowl and the Cowboys winning it.
That'd be interesting.
No.
But it also said Zeke was going to run for like 2,000 yards, and that's not going to happen either. So
yeah, he can't go to training camp.
I don't know. I can't think of any outliers right off the top of my head. Colts maybe?
I don't think so. Nothing. I don't think so.
Are you talking about just AFC?
No, whoever. In the NFL, I mean.
Falcons.
Falcons.
I mean, they're always tough.
The Jaguars.
They're like, I think Julio Jones is like an all-in. You know, my career's almost over. You know, it needs to.
He's happening now.
Ridley's stepping up. Mm-hmm. He's really good.
And Mohamed Sanu, he's good too. Yep. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it did.
And and as big as a veteran Matt Ryan is, he can make that offense work.
Matty Ice.
They can also blow a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Who you got in the Super Bowl, Sam?
I don't know yet. I can get up with
him yet. He don't know yet. He didn't have his notes with him.
So. But training camp was awesome. Wofford's a beautiful campus. Never been down there. Been to Spartanburg a bunch. But it was nice. Ready, met a really nice shuttle bus driver.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah. The funniest story of the day, actually, is there's a guy walking by, had a press pass from NBC. And Green's like, hey, man, I'll give you $5 for that press pass. And he said, $5, really? Is that your starting offer? I said, well, you do work for NBC. And then he walked back by and was not very nice to Green.
No.
And Slick Daddy didn't help us at all.
No, Slick Daddy needs to be retired.
Yeah, Slick Daddy didn't help us at all.
Or wasn't wearing his helmet one.
That's terrible. Then Green got over to where you needed a pass. He snuck in.
Yeah, he snuck into the, what they call the bullpen.
And got kicked out.
Where you get the good people's autographs.
Yeah.
Even though most of them walk by that, I don't know if those people had to pay to get in there, but if they did, they wasted their money because not a whole lot of people came up that way.
Yeah. Got a little bit of autographs. I got Will Greer.
I got Will Greer, Trey Boston, and
I
then
I think being able to get that close to the players – it really kind of gives you a new look at the team. I mean, there's a lot of them that was genuinely nice.
Uh-huh.
Jansen and Will Greer and the Henneke backup. They made sure to sign the kids' autographs first.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was great.
They were real friendly.
How they treated a serviceman, the ones you believe are too political to like anything good. I mean, they were shaking hands, signing autographs for them, everything.
On the record, Eric Reed signed every service member's memorabilia that was standing there.
Yeah.
Just so all y'all shook their hands. So
jumped off the golf cart.
To do it. Yeah, so just you can say he did that for show or whatnot, but he did do it. So, you know, take that for whatever you want. Also, me and Kevin walked up to Will Greer. We watched Will Greer play for Florida in college when they beat Tennessee. We were in the stands for that, and we mentioned that to him because Kevin had his Florida Gator hat because he was wanting Will Greer to sign it, and he goes, "Will you sign a Florida hat?" And he goes, "Yeah, I wore Florida shorts out here, so it don't bother me." And I said, "Yeah, we were in the stands when you came back and beat Tennessee that year 10-9, and he literally looked us in the face and said, "I still can't believe y'all let us win that game." So that was pretty funny. Super nice people. Trey Boston was cramping, by the way.
Yeah, he was trying to sign everybody's autograph, but he was doubled over.
He was sick at the last guy out.
Yeah, it was really hot.
It was. It was.
And then we didn't know exactly where to go. We got there. We thought we were – we had a front row seat there at the fence. On down is where we should have been. We didn't know that for this year. First time any of us
ever been.
Because
of Slick Daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Slick Daddy said that they would come up to us where we were.
But I would like to point out that my friendliness and openly hollering at the team officials led us to find out we was in the wrong place.
That is true.
Yep. Like I said, I've never seen McCaffrey in person, and I was really impressed with him as far as size and just what he's able to do with the football in his hands. I mean, you can sit there and watch it on TV all day long.
He was really quick. I mean, he was making our defense look bad. And
I know, right?
I mean, he was to the safeties after one cut. It was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell he's really bulked up. And he's going to have to if he's going to carry the load.
And I know it's training camp, but that just goes to show how hard of a worker he is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was going – it felt like full speed the whole time.
Mm-hmm. And he was real nice, too. He just – there was – when you're that big a celebrity, Cam, Luke Kuechly, Christian McCaffrey,
Greg Olson,
it's a madhouse. Wherever they go, there were so many people.
And you also got to think they just practiced 2 hours and it was hot.
terribly hot.
And they was in pads. Looks like Boston was cramping so bad. So everyone was cramping, just had to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. It's like 91 degrees.
And, I mean, honestly, you can't get mad if some of the players that you want to get a signature from just go on by because they're, for one, they're at work.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not obligated to sign anything. They do it out of the goodness of their heart, you know. So, I mean, one day you're there, they might stay and sign, you know, an hour after practice. They might sign everybody that's there. And then the next day they won't do it because, you know, maybe they got somewhere to be or they don't feel good that day. I mean, so I know I saw a post up where somebody at the start of practice, is a couple weeks ago when training camp started, took a video of Cam Newton just walking by everybody to go to practice and was like, look at this guy. He won't even stop and sign autographs. Well, that's because he's on his way to practice.
Yeah.
He's in practice mode. He's got practice on his mind. They don't worry about that till they come. They don't sign autographs till they come after practice.
And so, no matter how much money you make, you're going to get in trouble and fined for being late to camp.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to be there at the start of practice time, or like you say, you get fined and stuff like that. So,
and you know, if they were to try to sign every, and it wasn't even a big day there when we was there. I mean, there was a lot of people, but not normally what there is. Man, it would take hours, man.
Yeah, you'd never be able to do it.
And another thing,
can't make everybody happy.
The team official pointed out every autograph is the player decision.
Yeah.
And it showed a lot of the ones that, you know, stayed out there. The first person that come up was Greg Little, the new rookie we drafted on the tackle. The woman beside me obviously went there a lot. And she said, hey, you can get his autograph. He sticks around.
Right.
He's a signer.
Will Greer was a signer.
And, yeah. And that goes to show a lot about a person. You know, he's a rookie. He's grateful. And he got a lot. I mean, I didn't want to hit nobody to get his autograph. So, but he stopped and signed a whole lot.
Yeah. Yep. All in all, it was a great trip. I had fun.
Yeah.
It's the start of a new tradition.
Start of a new tradition. Yep.
Yep. Always go down on the Monday because it's not going to be as packed.
Yeah, they're having joint practice tomorrow, so that would have probably been terrible with the Bills.
Yeah,
so.
And probably next year, you know, they probably won't have Cam on a pitch count. And we'll be able to actually see him throw up close. And I didn't like the fact that they did all of their 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 work on the far practice field, but I also understand, you know, they probably don't want all the kids and stuff to hear what they're saying, and you know, because they get worked up and they're going to say things that, you know, some kids probably shouldn't hear. And also, you know, they don't want a whole lot of people videoing what's going on either. Although I'm sure they're not doing anything top secret. They'll wait till training camp breaks and they get to go to their closed practices to start working on that. But
and plus, it's not high school or college. I mean, these are grown adults.
Yep.
You know.
They're gracious enough to let you come that close to them while they're practicing. So, I mean, you can't get real mad about them being on the far field. But if you are going to be an NFL player, the way to go is be special teams because all they did was screwed off all day.
Yep. Trying to throw the ball in.
They spent an hour and a half throwing the ball at the post, trying to hit it.
Yeah, trying to hit the crossbar of the field goal post. So, you know, if you're going to do anything in the NFL, if you don't like working hard, that's the thing to do. So, pretty fun day, though.
Oh, yeah. I had fun. Did you have fun, Green?
Oh, yeah. Even though we did not stop at the Double Decker Krispy Kreme, like I've heard about for 2 months.
Yeah, well, it's time to come home. Did you have fun, Sam?
I did have fun.
He had fun. He had knee surgery, and he was a trooper walking around through there.
But we heard about it.
It's Chris Hogan. Hogan.
I should have got y'all to drop me off at the front.
Yeah. Really. All right, then. Thank y'all for listening. I'm Kevin.
This is Key.
This is Jarrett.
Mean Green.
Green.
And Singleton in the chair.
Yep.
Ruining the podcast with his phone going off. We'll talk to you later.